Five is a quorum.
Good morning, all. Welcome to the March 23rd, 2017 Mobile Source Committee. May we have roll call, please?
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of March 23rd, 2017, Director Canepa?
Here.
Director Groom? Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Chu? Director Kaplan?
Here.
Director Miley? Director Kim? Vice Chair, Committee Vice Chair Haggerty? Committee Chair Mitchoff?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Yes. Would you all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance that Mr. Hudson would like to lead?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Do we have any speakers who'd like to speak to us under public comment on any item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes of February 23rd. Second. We have a motion by Hudson and a second by Kaplan. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Doesn't appear there's any noes or abstentions. We'll move on to item four, and that is our projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Good morning. I'd like to introduce Judy Williams, Staff Specialist in the Strategic Incentives Division, who will be leading us through this first item today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. I'm here today to present to you Agenda Item 4, which is the consideration of funding for approval of projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000. I'll start by providing some background information, describe the proposed project, and finally conclude with staff recommendation. The district has participated in the Carl Moyer program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines that are not yet regulated. The program is jointly administered by the California Resources Board and local air districts. It provides funding for both public and private entities. In addition to the Carl Moyer program, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund is the district funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923. The bill authorized the district to administer to collect an additional $2 DMV registration fee to fund additional Carl Moyer program projects. On March 16, 2016, the district board of directors approved participation in year 18 of the Carl Moyer program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards over $100,000. Before you today for consideration is one project, which will replace one piece of off-road equipment for a proposed allocation of approximately $150,000. This project will reduce 0.72 tons of emissions per year. More information on this project can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. These charts represent Year 18 funding as of March 3rd. The charts show allocations by equipment category and county. The total amounts of fundings allocated to these projects is about $8 million. More detailed information on these projects can be found in Attachment 2 of the staff report. These next charts represent the total funding allocated since 2009. Similar to the previous charts, these charts are by equipment category and county and total around $135 million. In conclusion, staff requests the committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the Carl Moyer Program project with a proposed grant award over $100,000 as identified in Attachment 1 of the staff report, authorize the executive officer to enter into an agreement with the applicant for the recommended project. This concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
Yeah, the big one for me, and I'm going to look at Damien on this. This $5 million for San Joaquin Regional Rail Commission, that's not the same $5 million we were talking about for new cars, is it, on the peninsula? It is that?
No, separate. This is
funding for the ACE train, and the other funding was mobile source incentive funds that we put aside for Caltrain. So we've made allocations for both projects.
And the second part, are these numbers right on particular matter? We're removing almost 1,000 pounds of
peat.
Wow, okay. That's about half a ton more efficient.
Yeah. Usually when you go between tiers, there's a 50% improvement. So we're going from tier zero to tier four. It's almost a 98% improvement.
Ms. Kaplan?
Stop in your head.
Yes, thank you. I also have a question about railroad tiers. I'd be interested in a future round in bringing back, we have some very, very old diesel locomotives operating at the Port of Oakland, and they're very close to a neighborhood with a very high asthma rate. And my understanding is that this is the funding line that they would be appropriate for. What if we approve all this today, is there money left, and or when is the next time someone could come in for something of that sort?
We just currently opened the solicitation, so we're fairly early in the solicitation cycle. For Carl Moyer funds, it's a first-come, first-served, and it's open typically throughout the year. So
there's no impediment to an additional project coming in?
Right, so this recommendation wouldn't prohibit additional funding for new projects.
Okay, well, so I'll look forward to discussing that at a future meeting, and I'll be happy to support this item.
Can staff coordinate with Ms. Kaplan and for get you information on process and everything? I think
We'd be happy to.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Since there is only one project, I'm going to put it in the record, even though it's an attachment, that this is for a replacement of one diesel loader in Sonoma County, and the project cost is $193,132, and Carl Moyer will be paying $154,505, and it's going to be the applicant is Diamond Ranch. Any other questions, concerns? Moved by Kaplan, seconded by Hudson. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. There are no noes. We'll move forward to our next item, which is the Lower Emission School Bus Program Update and Funding Allocation.
Wonderful. For this next presentation, I'd like to introduce Lena Patel, a staff specialist also in the Strategic Incentives Division, who will be presenting an update on the Lower Emission School Bus Program. We're really excited to present this. We have some really great information about this, and I know there's a lot of interest from this committee on the topic, so we're very pleased to bring this update today.
Great. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. I'm here today to present to you agenda item number 5, which provides an update on lower emission school bus program and requests your consideration of funding for additional school bus projects.
Well, I like it.
Nice presentation.
Oh, there you go.
Well, okay. Excuse me. I understand that everyone on the committee has read the staff report. I know that Ms. Patel put time into the PowerPoint. What is the pleasure of the committee now that we have a motion? Move forward with the presentation. Thank you. Ms. Patel?
Oh, thank you. I will start by providing some background information, including the program's accomplishments, recent updates, and concludes with STOP's recommendations. Upgrading older school buses helps to protect vulnerable populations, particularly Bay Area school children, from the harmful effects of air pollution by reducing exposure to diesel emissions from older buses. Program grants assist local school districts in the funding amounts for each project type tends to cover 90 to 100% of the project cost. The program is voluntary and is jointly administered by the California Air Resource Board and local air districts. Since 2000, the air district has provided incentives for school bus projects from various funding sources, including the Prop 1B bond program, ARB special funds, U.S. EPA Diesel Emission Reduction Act funds, or DERA, the Transportation for Clean Air, or TFCA, and the Mobile Source Incentives Funds, or MSIF. As described earlier, MSIF is our air district name for the additional $2 DMV registration surcharge authorized by AB 923, which can be used to fund eligible CARMOYA program projects and lower emission school bus program projects. In recent years, MSIF has been our primary source of school bus project funding. In June 2014, the board allocated $6.3 million in MSIF funds for school bus projects, and in October 2016, the board allocated an additional $1.5 million for CNG tank replacement projects. The lower emission school bus program provides funding for three project types. First, the purchase of the new school buses to replace model year 1993 and older buses. Second, the installation of diesel particulate filters or retrofits on existing buses with model year 1987 and newer engines, along with the clean and maintenance equipment for the filters. And third, the replacement of expiring CNG tanks on existing natural gas buses, since tanks must be replaced within 15 years, but buses may operate for 25 more years. Grants for bus replacement and CNG tank replacements are available only to public school districts and joint powers authorities or GPAs. The retrofit project category is the only funding options open to private companies that are connected to provide school bus transportation services for public school districts. Grants for up to $165,000 per bus can be awarded for bus replacement projects. Retrofit and CNG bus replacement projects are eligible for up to $20,000 per bus. Since 2000, the Air District has provided more than $75 million in funding to replace 446 older school buses, which includes the purchase of 77 CNG buses, to retrofit 826 school buses with diesel particulate filters and replace CNG tanks on 139 school buses throughout the Bay Area. This slide shows how the $75 million has been allocated by each of the three project types and also by county since 2000. You can see that most of the funding went to school bus replacement projects, followed by retrofit and CNG tank replacements. More information about the funded projects can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. This slide summarizes the distributions by project type within the each of the Bay Area counties. Many factors affect a school district decision to apply for the program and which project types they select. The age and composition of the bus fleet, the ownership of buses, and whether the school district's contract for private transportation services are some factors that contribute to the variation of the project types and funding allocation you see here across the counties and in our air district. At the present time, there are approximately 2,200 diesel school buses operating in the Bay Area. During 2016, ARB revised the program guidelines to allow funding for new project types and advanced technologies. These changes include bus replacement, engine repower, and bus conversion, and funding options for electric, hybrid electric, and alternative fueled engines. These new options create an opportunity to assist school districts to move away from diesel-fueled buses, but will likely increase project cost in the future. The most recent funding allocation focused on CNG tank replacements, and during 2016, funds for school bus replacement and retrofit projects were exhausted. We currently have about $1.4 million remaining in the CNG tank replacement category only. Today's staff request your considerations for $5 million of additional MSIF funding for the lower emission school bus program. We'll continue to monitor the demand for projects over the next year and return to the committee when additional program funding is needed. In conclusion, staff requests that committee recommend the board of directors allocate $5 million in the Mobile Source Incentive Funds for lower emission school bus program projects and authorize the executive officer, APCO, to enter into agreements with applicants for lower emission school bus program projects. This concludes my presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, I'll just reiterate that we do have a motion and a second on the floor. The motion was by Haggerty, the second was by Kaplan. I have a question,
by
but
who?
Hudson. Mr. Hudson has a question. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to go with Mr. Haggerty because he made the motion first.
Thank you. I've been around long enough to pretty much know the answer to this question. But we spent $1.2 million on retrofit on buses on the City of Industry. How do we know that these buses actually remained here in our Air District area?
There are a couple of different ways. There are reporting requirements for these projects, and the buses are registered to the companies, and we check that, vet them, and do on-site inspections when the project starts. So we have a number of different ways of doing that. You know, no system is perfect, and we do from time to time find that buses get shipped out of the area, and then there are requirements for grants to be repaid.
Okay, and how long are those buses required to remain in our DARE district?
Yeah, go ahead, Leanne.
5 years, sir.
One thing I wanted to add, while I've got a chance, is one of the questions I think that the committee had and why we were so anxious to bring this back was I think there was an impression that we had led some of these companies to counties to replace buses with CNG, and that the committee wanted to make sure that we continued to support those. So I think you can see here in the presentation that we did replace 77 CNG buses, and we provided tanks for over 139 buses at this stage. So we have continued to provide that support to the people who we basically put on that technology path. And that was one of the key things that I wanted to make sure that you understand, because it was a big concern for the committee in the past.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
You know, back to slide 7, it really caught my interest, this part of the presentation. You talked about actually electric buses also. And I know they're pretty expensive, but it would seem that in time they are going to come down. The problem I have is our county has two separate private but through CCTA bus, and it's First Transit or First Student, so I'm pretty sure Damon's going to tell me, yeah, you're using these buses or grants that we're giving you. It's very difficult to get through DMV on what's a school bus and what is, or from the Highway Patrol. And the only one I know that's doing electric bus that wants to go more electric bus is through the Livermore plant that Gillig is going to be making. Mm. Is there any help in you know, changing the regulations so as we go to electric, or are we still stuck with do a Thomas and that's about it, or have you heard anything about it? Because I really would like to go to the electric and get the wave and ducting. These are the perfect instruments to do it. You work in the morning, you can charge up, you take your little break or whatever, you come back, you do it in the afternoon, and this is the ideal thing to be using it for. But there's nothing other than now we're doing this and that's it.
Well, we've sponsored a number of demonstration projects down through the years. Buses that have been hooked with solar, electric buses primarily, because you do have the duty cycle, right, depending on whether you're more urban or rural. But they tend to travel somewhere between 40 to 60 miles in the morning and then sit for the rest of the day. Some of the things that we've done, we did with babe.org as part of the Super Bowl, see if we could, you know, use those buses a little bit better as assets so that they could be used for school trips. And then one of the projects that we have actually sponsored, I think that we'll be bringing back to you, is another electric school bus, and that's with the Bluebird Company. Is that right, Karen? Yeah, the Bluebird Company, and they're a major manufacturer, so we're expecting the pricing to actually start to come in line. And because you've got a company like Bluebird, they, I think, will, and they pretty much, they are a big player in that market. You'll start to see this become more common. The costs are coming down, but they still tend to be on the higher side. We're paying about 189,000 or so for a bus currently for just a replacement diesel bus. And those buses are actually, they're very, very clean comparatively to when we started in 2000. But still, you know, the electric buses that we're seeing are, what, over a million? 400,000 to a million. So they're still priced above. You know, with operational savings, that brings that delta closer, but it's still going to be a couple of years before I think you start to see these companies convert en masse to that technology.
Okay. My question is, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, we get money in from a variety of places. So if we, and I support this, but if the $5 million goes, it's just for the bus, this clean bus program, there's still other mobile source monies for other things. Okay. And is this for the 17-18 fiscal year? It'll come before the full board in April.
Yeah.
So it's part of the
Yes, it is. So we've actually, in terms of mobile source incentive funds, we get around somewhere between $11 to $12 million a year. Some of that funding we ask you to allocate to match the Karen Moyer Grant Fund program. So that's usually around $5 million. We get about $8 million in Moyer. So that money, we talked about it already this morning, that money's still there. We took some of the rest of it and we matched it against Caltrain, and this will pretty much take us to the limit of that funding.
Okay.
But that's to be expected because those are the eligible categories that it's that we spend it in.
And that's fine because Karl Moyer, there's a number of things you can spend it on. This would strictly be for the buses that are listed. The other question I had, and it may just be an oversight, I know in Karl Moyer, and I think on most everything else, our executive officer can sign up to the
$100,000.
Yeah. So the request here is to enter into agreements and authorize the executive officer. So, and I've noticed some of these are over $100,000. So this is just saying in accordance with policy.
No, we actually do this one slightly different.
Oh, okay.
It's just basically a convenience thing for the school districts. There are so many of these. And some of the larger grant programs, you know, we get hundreds and you know, sometimes thousands of these applications. And depending on, you know, usually because these companies have consolidated, they're going to come in and ask for, you know, 15 or 20 buses. So in that case, to spare the committee from, you know, approving every single project, we ask you to let the executive officer do it, and then we come back and report these to you on a monthly basis.
That's fine. I don't have a problem, and thank you for that explanation. Mr. Canepa?
Sure. Thank you for the presentation. Great work. Just have a question. We know that PM and NOx emissions are reduced by 90 to 98%. Can you please explain to me just the technical aspects of how the filters function?
So the filters function in two different manners. Usually for particulate matter, there's essentially a metal mesh in there, and by charging the mesh, it actually makes the particulate. We call it a particulate filter, but it basically adheres the diesel particulate matter down to PM 2.5. to that metal mesh, and as the engine heats up, the mesh heats up, and it burns the particulate off to levels that are not harmful to human health. In terms of the nitrogen oxides, that technology is urea injection, so you basically take ammonia, it binds to the It's a urea injection is one of the ways that they do it. And basically that takes the nitrogen oxides, binds it in ammonia and scrubs it out of the system. And then it goes out with the regular exhaust so that you're knocking down the NOx essentially.
All right. With that, all in favor, please say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And we'll move on to our next item, which is the fiscal year ending 2018 Transportation Fund for Clean Air.
Great. So this next item is an item that we bring back before you every year. Last month, we brought forward a request for the annual allocation of Carl Moyer funds. This is the analogous counterpart with the Transportation Fund for Clean Air funds. And to walk us through this presentation, I'd like to introduce Chen Feng Wang, who's the acting manager in the Strategic Incentives Division.
Good morning.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today I'll be presenting the proposed funding allocation of the Air District's portion of the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFC program, for fiscal year ending 2018. Here's an overview of the presentation. I begin by providing a breakdown for each of the proposed TFC programs for 2018. I then go over the proposed cost-effective limits for the Air District sponsored program for 2018, and conclude the presentation with staff's recommendation. For fiscal year ending 2018, we estimated approximately $25 million in new TFC monies will be generated from the $4 per vehicle DMA surcharge. After deducting the admin and audit costs, 40% of this new TFC monies will be passed to a designated county program manager within each of the nine counties through the TFC County Program Manager Fund. The remaining 60% of this new TFC monies, or about $13.93 million in 2018, will be awarded through the Regional Fund Program or directly administered by the Air District as Air District sponsored programs. I'll be providing more information about each of these programs later in this presentation. And it is the allocation of the 60% portion of this new TFC monies that I'll be discussing during this presentation. Column A of this table shows the new TFC monies that we are recommending be allocated to each of these programs in fiscal year ending 2018. In addition to the $13.93 million in new TFC monies, column B of this table shows approximately $15 million carryover funds from prior years. The carryover comes from projects that were canceled or that were closed under budget. Column C, which is highlighted in yellow in this table, shows the total amount of funding that will be available to each of the programs in 2018. So now I'd like to provide a brief description of each of the programs that are proposed in fiscal year ending 2018. And I start with a trip reduction program, which is one of the key strategies to reducing mobile source emissions. In addition to the shuttle and rider sharing programs, which are long-standing programs that have been funded by TFC since 1991, in 2016, we created a new program category that provides funding for pilot trip reduction projects. For fiscal year ending 2018, we are proposing an allocation of $6 million in TFC funds, which include $4 million in new TFC monies. Next, we have the bicycle facilities, which include bikeways and bicycle parking, such as bike racks and electronic bicycle lockers. Bicycling is one of the primary alternative transportation modes for short trip distance trips. The Air District has funded bicycle facility improvement projects for more than 25 years, and provide funding for the installation of more than 13,000 bicycle parking spots, as well as the installation of more than 200 miles of new bikeways. Their district is currently preparing a solicitation that would provide up to $5 million in TFC funds for new bikeways. The solicitation is expected to open in the next month. For fiscal year ending 2018, we are proposing to allocate $2 million in carryover funds for this category. This funding will be used to augment the current year allocation of the $5 million if BioQuiz's solicitation is oversubscribed, and any remaining funds would be used to provide funding for projects that install new bicycle parking. The Air District has been funding clean vehicle projects since the inception of the TFC program in 1991. Since 2010, when electric vehicle became commercially available, the Air District has awarded nearly $16 million in TFC monies to help spur the deployment of electric vehicles in the region. This program has been extremely successful, and the Bay Area region has one of the highest adoption rate in the nation and in California. Since 2010, the Air District's funding has helped to deploy more than 1,800 electric cars, trucks, and buses, and nearly 1,100 public available electric vehicle charging stations, which represent approximately 24% of total publicly available charging stations in the region. For fiscal year ending 2018, we are proposing an allocation of a total of $14.66 million of TFC funds, which includes $5.22 million in new TFC monies. For 2018, the clean vehicle category will provide funding for a variety of zero emissions vehicle incentive projects, including the installation of EV charging stations and the purchase of new clean air vehicles, such as zero-emission heavy-duty trucks, buses, and light-duty vehicles. Next, I want to go over the Air District Enhanced Mobile Source Enforcement Commuter Benefit Program. This program has historically provided funding for the Smoking Vehicles Program. More recently, this program has been expanded to include enhanced smoking vehicles patrols, drill truck regulation enforcement at the Port of Oakland, and the enforcement activities associated with the new commuter benefits program. For fiscal year ending 2017, we are proposing an allocation of a total of $2.28 million of TFC funds, which includes $1.5 million in new TFC monies. Next, I'd like to talk about two other Air District-sponsored programs. The Summer Spare Air Program conducts outreach activities to reduce single-occupancy vehicles and reduce emissions of ozone precursors. We are proposing an allocation of a total of $2.09 million of TFC funds with $1.5 million of new TFC monies to this program. The Air District's Vehicle Buyback Program provides $1,000 per vehicle to encourage early retirement of older qualifying passenger vehicles. On average, this program retires approximately 6,000 vehicles per year. And the CalMoyer and the Mobile Source Incentive Fund typically allocates up to $7 million per year to cover the cost of vehicle retirements. For fiscal year ending 2018, we are proposing an allocation of $650,000, which includes $150,000 in new TFC monies. Historically, $150,000 has been allocated to support advertising and administrative costs related to vehicle back program. This next year, staff is proposing to increase the amount of funding for this program to provide funding to be able to expand the existing vehicle buyback program to include new vehicle categories such as trucks and motorcycles. Lastly, the cost effect limits for the air district sponsor program, which represent the maximum amount of dollars that can be awarded for reducing 1 surplus tons of organic gases, nitrogen oxides, and weighted particulate matter. We are proposing to keep them the same as the current year's cost effect limits. However, we ask the committee to approve the increase of the project useful life for the vehicle buyback program from 1 to 3 years. This change will provide greater flexibility of this program as we seek to expand the program to include eligible trucks and motorcycles for early retirement. In closing, staff requests the committee recommend the board of directors allocate $13.93 million in new transportation fund for clean air monies to the programs listed in Table 1, authorize the proposed cost effectiveness limits for the air district sponsored programs listed in Table 2, and authorize the executive officer, APCO, to enter into funding agreements and contracts up to $100,000 for projects and programs listed in Table 1. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Haggerty?
Thank you. I have a few questions, Madam Chair. On the, and I apologize, you know, I've only sat on this committee for 20 years, and you have the extreme opportunity to embarrass me pretty bad.
Thank you.
So take it, yes. Do we, I know that we get to see the regional TFCA funds when, as they go out, and we get to see that program. But the program manager funds, do we ever get to see them in their totality? I mean, what I mean by that is, do we ever have a review of how is there 9 program managers?
Yes.
So there's 9 program managers. Have we ever put that whole thing together on a yearly basis outside of the audit? I'm not talking audit. But have we ever brought it back to the committee and said, this is how it's spent? And kind of looked at how each one was spent. Are you going to say it's only done through the audit process?
We do it through the audit process, but we have done that in the past. We have, you know, brought back, kind of given you the pie, showing you what exactly they've spent.
I'm actually, Damien, I apologize. I'm being more project specific because
yeah.
It kind of dawned on me, this is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I, sitting at my CMA, I get to see where they're putting the money.
Yes.
But I don't know how other CMAs are putting the actual dollars. I mean, pie charts don't really tell that. Yeah. And I think at some point, for me anyways, it would be interesting to see actually how the program manager are actually spending this money. Yeah. And I don't know if it's interesting to the rest of the committee members, but to me it would be.
No, I think it's very interesting.
Yeah. I think we do come back to you to allocate funds to them on an annual basis, and we'd be happy to bring that back. And I think we can show you by project what they've done, and we can cast back a couple of years. We have those records. So why don't we take that as an action item to bring back to you when we do allocate the funds this year in May?
Okay. And then, again, you have the opportunity again. The chargers, they're the charging systems. Now, I know that we have in the past talked about, and I think we have done them at, my memory serves me right, looked at putting chargers in, like at apartment buildings and things like that.
Yes.
Although there's been barriers as far as the expense of that and how much. Have we actually looked at shopping centers and local Burger Kings, Walmarts, things like that? I mean,
yeah, we actually had a contract with McDonald's at one stage, which didn't go through. But we have worked with those centers because they are, I think what you're driving at is that they are kind of centers for a lot of traffic. So that's where we want to locate those chargers. So that's one of the things that's on our roadmap. And it's something that we specifically target. The grant funding, you get a... you know, these destination points are where we want to put these chargers.
Okay,
at
but
this
what do we do for them?
Go ahead.
So, it's a, for example, tell me what you were going to do for that McDonald's.
Right.
That, I guess, fell through.
Well, actually, we funded quite a few of them did fall through. It was a franchise of McDonald's that had, I don't recall now, it was part of the 09 cycle, and we installed probably 20 chargers at various locations. Most of them were in Alameda County, actually, but there were some other places throughout the Bay Area. And but for your question right now in terms of what we're doing, what Damien was saying was that we offer the funding and we try to make it as simple as possible, meaning that you know, the rules are fairly streamlined, and pretty much any private business or public agency is eligible for the funding. So examples of some of the folks that came to our last webinar, we had a gentleman that owns a Best Western in Sonoma County. We've installed chargers at casinos. It really is just like a range of places.
But I get that. But what did we do?
We provide them with about half of the cost of the actual chargers themselves.
Okay. The charger, or did we pay to them to? Did we? I mean, because the installation is expensive, ripping up asphalt and things
expensive.
Like that. The planning for it, things like that. So I'm trying to figure out what did we pay for.
Right. So our funding. So basically, they apply to us before they start their project, and the funding can be used for anything that is required to get that charger in the ground. So buy the equipment, install the equipment, do the trenching, whatever costs, they're able to allocate the costs where they want to put those. So we don't tell them, we say these are all eligible costs. The only thing we don't pay for is once that charger is up and running and in service, we don't pay for the ongoing maintenance or electricity for the use of that charger. On the other hand, they are able to charge for the use of that charger as a way to recover ongoing costs. So to answer your question, as Damien said, our funding provides somewhere between 25% to 75% of the cost to get that charger in the ground and up and running.
Okay, and that's something we still allow?
That's currently open today, and we're accepting applications.
Okay.
Well, one thing I'd add to that is that there's a few different programs that are still out there that actually provide cost match for this. PG&E have a program that was authorized to the CPUC to provide stub outs for some of this work. They do it mostly, you know, they do it in some private residences, but they also do it in some of these public places. And there's also a workplace component of that program. The folks, and their name is escaping me, who took over the Enron.
Enron.
NRG. They have also got a program that they were mandated to put in, which, again, provides similar things, stub outs, which means that they provide, you know, that trenching, that line. And again, that's those programs are still available. So if you are interested in doing this, you not only can get the Air District grant, but if you understand how these other programs work, and we hook you up with some of these people, you can get quite a good deal of the amount of the cost of charging. Some of the things that we've said, I mean, still hold true for cities and counties. You know, you have to consider the ongoing maintenance of this equipment, and you have to consider the other things that you're doing to make it easier to put in electric vehicles, and whether this is where you want to spend your dollar or not.
Okay, and then my final question on the slide in which you talked about enhanced patrols for smoking vehicles. Is that really needed? I mean, are we spending a lot of money there? I mean, the reason I ask that question is, first of all, I don't really see that very often anymore. I do see it sometimes, but we do have the 800 number.
Yeah.
It seems to me we would be better off advertising that 800 number, because I know your calls are down to that number.
Correct.
But to me, the biggest... abuser of smoking vehicles is diesel trucks.
Yeah.
And the best place to get those is probably at the truck scales, and maybe with better cooperation of the CHP, or maybe having our inspectors at truck scales is maybe a better place for them to be, and maybe a better use of time as opposed to having people driving around looking for smoking vehicles. So can you...
Yeah, agreed. I think we've discussed this with the committee, as you know, in the last few years. That particular portion of the program has been less cost-effective. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I'm surprised to see the enhanced.
Yeah, we are cutting back, but for this year, we kept it in there. We still get, 25% of our calls are still about this issue. As you said, it's going way down. I think this is probably the last or second last year that we're going to continue this portion of the program. But we are scaling it way back. Where the majority of the funds will be spent in this program for this year is the enforcement activities associated with the new commuter benefits program. So we're going to start ramping that one up, like we did the smoke. You remember when we started with the fireplace program? We started with a light touch. Now the touch is going to get a little bit stronger, transitioning because we have a new law to eventually, a full-on enforcement program like any of our others. So that's where that's where the majority of this funding will be spent in this year.
For me, I would rather see these enhanced patrols sitting at the Cordelia truck scales,
yep,
at the Sunol truck scales, at the 880 truck scales. That's where I would rather see them. I would rather see, because to me, some of these diesel trucks are out of control. And that's where I see the problem now. And that's where we should be stepping up the enforcement.
Agreed. One of the things that we'll be bringing back to you, I hope, in the next 3 months is studies that we were actually doing to prove out that point. We've been looking at what the ARB required in their regulation, and then we contracted with UC Berkeley to do some field measurements because we were seeing the same thing. When we have the results of that, we are going to be, we're already, I think, requesting it for the Port of Auckland because we've seen non-compliance there. We're going to be requesting enhanced enforcement at truck scales where CHP and where ARB do their inspections. We'll take Cordelia as another one to target, but you'll probably see that roll out first in around the Port of Auckland. We'll come back to you all with the report, but our intention then is once we have the information for the on-road trucks, we're doing some study at Caldecott Tunnel, and we're going to roll it out throughout the Bay Area.
Well, I know it's always easy to jump on the guys that are pulling the containers, but quite frankly, the biggest offenders of the smoking trucks are the ones that are pulling these gravel trailers.
Agreed.
So, you can go hang out at the quarry pits, too.
We'd be happy to.
Mr. Hudson, yeah, and Ms. Kaplan?
I really think you're on to something there. I don't know if I would limit it to the scales. Cordelia comes to mind real quick. But I would go out to some of the truck stops and try and determine how much is this coming in from Southern California, like near Wesley, and how much is coming in from Stockton Tracy. So you might have to have two, and then something up on the Altamont as they're going up to see what's the cumulative and what really is the problem. If we find out that coming in from Stockton and Tracy is about one quarter of what's coming up from Wesley, then we know that we're getting every dirty little truck out of Southern California they can send us. But we probably need to know who truly are the offenders and if there is one definitive area we can target.
Ms. Kaplan?
Thank you very much. I totally agree with the previous comments about targeting the trucks, so great suggestions. Also, in terms of trucks, I want to really appreciate staff for one of the things that is in here, which is to expand vehicle buyback to trucks and motorcycles. We know we've been doing buybacks on cars for many years. Most of the dirty old cars have now been bought back, and we have dirty old trucks, motorcycles, and RVs that are still out there. So to now start to expand the buyback program to these other categories, I think is really important. Also, because with trucks, the emissions of diesel particulate matter are the emissions that are most threatening to human health in our immediate area and tend to be disproportionately targeted around certain communities that have very high health effects. So getting trucks that are spewing diesel particulate matter excessively off the road has an even more strong positive benefit to the health of the public in our region. And so for that reason, it seemed to me a little odd that we would have a much stricter cutoff on that program in terms of the maximum cost effectiveness than we do for programs like bike racks, which we're giving much more leeway to bike rack programs. And so unless there's some particular policy reason not to, I would suggest we make the vehicle buyback cutoff the same as the bike rack cutoff, because it's certainly no less important, and they tend to be more clustered. So getting the trucks out has an even more positive health benefit than bike racks.
Absolutely. And, you know, this would be a pilot that we're proposing for next year. So certainly if we needed to make any adjustments, we absolutely would come back mid-year if necessary. One thing you pointed out is that the trucks are so much dirtier than a lot of this other stuff. And so for that reason...
Oh, so they'll meet this criteria.
So they'll meet a less... right. And so okay. What's happening is the way we evaluate the other ones, right? You got it.
Okay. I mean, if it turns out it's no problem and we're able to keep that threshold and get a bunch of trucks off, then fine.
In this case, the lower the number, the better, because it means that the project is more cost-effective.
Yes.
When you see the higher numbers there, those are things that we as take a portfolio approach for. In Karamoyer and all the other grant programs, the threshold set around 17,000. So
yep.
This is still, in our opinion, pretty high. So we're pushing the boat out a little bit.
Well, and I appreciate that we're doing this, and I would move approval of the item.
Moved by Kaplan, seconded by Hudson. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Our next item is being continued to our April meeting at the request of Director Kaplan. I received a request from her, and after checking with staff, it didn't appear that there was any negative effect to putting off that report, and we'll take that up at our next meeting.
Thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
You're welcome. And with that, let's see. Any committee member comments? Mr. Canaba? Mr. Haggerty? Mr. Miley? Ms. Hudson? Ms. Kaplan? With that, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.